John Travolta in a love triangle with two women?
Way too much unnecessary dancing.
And you guessed it, folks, Frank Stallone.
This is Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Hello and welcome to Blockbuster Nostalgia. This is episode 7. We are talking about Staying Alive, 1983.
Yeah, this is number 99 on our list.
That's right. If you're just joining us, we are counting down the top grossing movies of the 1980s. We are down to number 99, Staying Alive, directed by Sylvester Stallone. We're going to talk about that. And starring of the one and only John Travolta.
Yeah, I am Francisco Landin.
E.G. Seitz. Welcome again to the show. Let's go ahead and start off by letting you know we're going to be cursing. We're going to be cursing a lot.
Yeah, there's going to be a lot of F-bombs, which I mean fucks. Maybe some cunts in there, which I mean cunts. Yeah, a lot of that stuff. Yeah, that's if you like all that stuff, I mean, you came to the right place, I think.
You absolutely did. Another slight warning is that we're going to be spoiling this movie. It's been around. You've had your chance. But if you'd like to pause and watch it, you can always come back. Spoiler alert, it's not worth it.
Really. I like to know who the person is that's going to be like, pause, I want to watch Staying Alive first.
Yeah.
Because I don't want them to ruin the ending for me.
Right.
Don't worry about that, actually, with this movie.
Yeah, not so much. I mean, and look, Well, we'll get to it. But we are going to be spoiling it in case that's a worry for you. Let's go ahead and start with the numbers. As I said, this is the 99th highest grossing. This is domestic gross. Highest grossing movie
in the
of
US.
The 80s.
Mm-hmm. I had a budget of $22 million, which is actually pretty high. Probably all to the actors. And Stallone.
Yeah.
I would say Stallone and Travolta took those $22
million. And the Bee Gees.
Oh, yeah, and the Bee Gees. Yeah, that's right. That was a lot of... That's all fucking... And Frank Stallone, too.
Yes.
For some reason.
Yeah, Frank...
But it did gross almost $65 million. And then it was like a sequel 6 years after Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, it is a sequel to Saturday Night Fever, hit movie from the 70s. Did take a few years to put together. Evidently, Travolta, upon seeing some of the Rocky movies, said, that's our guy. We got to get Stallone in on this.
And they did.
And they did. And I can see why. Like, there is... Thematically, there are some similarities to those early Rocky movies. You know, the down and out guy trying to make it, trying to be a big deal. I can kind of see why they brought Stallone in on this. And
it's interesting that Stallone did this movie, I think, because it was like right after Rocky III, right?
Right. It's right after Rocky III, right before Rocky IV. And he, you know, this is one of the only movies that he, you know, wrote and directed or co-wrote or did a pass on the screenplay, but that he directed that he's not in.
Yeah, that he didn't act in. It was just in like Homefront.
Yeah, and Homefront he didn't direct. He just wrote.
Yeah, he just wrote that movie. But everything else, he always acted in it.
Right. So it's a really interesting choice. And
it is a weird choice.
It is. And I'm not entirely sure why Stallone did it,
honestly. No, I have no idea why he would do it. I mean, I understand the story. Like, there is a story in there that's Stallone-ish.
Yes, there's like 20 minutes of a story.
Yeah, and then there's a fucking hour of dancing montages.
There's so many dance... Guys, can I get real with you real quick? I'm going to get real with you.
Please.
There's so much goddamn dancing in this movie.
There is a lot
Holy
of fucking dancing in
this movie. Shit. Guys,
yeah.
Gals, everybody. This movie, like I said to Francisco while we were watching, it's like they started writing the screenplay one weekend. They got like 30 pages into it, and they're like, fuck it, we shoot Monday.
Yeah. Like, and then they're like, all right, well, what do we do with the rest of the fucking time?
It's just montages.
Dancing?
Just dance montages.
Montages, that's it, yeah. And it actually...
It's not even just dance montages. They go for walks.
Yeah.
There's talking montages.
Every time he gets his heart kind of like broken, he's like walking for fucking a minute and a half.
There's
in the
scenes
middle of the
where just somebody sings an entire song and they cut to Travolta every once in a while looking and just being like, yeah, I'm sad. Travolta.
I feel like Stallone kind of tricks me in this movie. Because
It starts...
Pretty solid. It starts
It starts with the most... Like early 80s crazy title sequence with the just
just giant staying alive pushed in your fucking face.
Yes. It like just, flying towards the camera, yeah. Streaks off of it. The music is super 80s, super early 80s.
There's a lot of shots of ass.
Lots of shots of ass. They're dancing the whole time. Kirkwood Smith is there.
Yeah, by the way, Kirkwood Smith, you're going to get very excited to see Red.
I was very excited. Yeah. I was like, oh, goddamn, it's Red from that 70s show up in this shit?
Yeah, and also like Clarence from RoboCop. Like, he was a bad guy in RoboCop. Well, yeah. One of them, man.
Yeah.
He's fucking awesome.
Yeah, he's the bad guy, yeah.
Yeah, and you're going to get very excited in the first fucking 2-3 minutes to see Kirk
Smith.
Yeah,
I was very excited.
And then that's it.
Yeah, he's gone.
You're not going to see him again.
Ah, so sad.
And he's such a fucking great actor. Like, there's parts in this movie that should have belonged to him.
Yes, he should have been the director.
Yeah, he should have been the musical director, and he didn't get that. Instead, I don't know who he got. I don't know who that guy
is. Yeah, they were just like, they just brought him in for one scene. But yeah, so much dancing right off the top. They're just huge dance sequences, and like they freeze frame for all the titles, and some of the frames they freeze on are really bizarre. It's just like someone's crotch, and like just such weird choices.
Blurry jumping, like it's super fucking weird. But then you start off in a pretty solid movie. Like,
but yeah, after that, like, because it goes right for that kind of Rocky thing where right off the bat, he's told, like, nah, you're not good enough.
Yeah, so right away, he's a loser.
Right yeah, away. Right away, you're a loser.
Which is, like, it's Stallone's, like, bread and butter.
Yeah, I really feel like that is, even with the Rambo movies, even though Rambo's not a loser in that sense... Like,
yeah, he's
if you
like
think
an
about
outcast.
First Blood, he's very much an outcast. He has no, like, the very first scene of First Blood, he's going to the last friend he has that he thinks he has on the world. He finds out that friend is dead.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, he has nobody.
Then just gets hassled by the fucking sheriff. Like, it very much, like, sets up, this is going to be a Stallone movie. That's based on his life, and you can feel that you can.
And there's the scene where he goes for all the auditions.
Yeah.
And he's trying to be charming, and he's trying, well, he's... you said it, but I really feel like he's channeling Stallone. Like, he's really trying to be Stallone. He even has the early 80s Stallone haircut.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like, the whole time he's trying to play young Stallone.
Yeah. And he's not nearly as big as Stallone, but he's super cut in this movie. Like, he was working out.
Yeah,
Travolta was working out a lot to get prepared for this movie.
And you said that. Like, I believe that this is the most cut that he's ever been, probably.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. This is the thinnest that Travolta has ever been, for
just
sure.
Lean. If you want to see Travolta muscles, this is a movie to watch.
But yeah, it starts out very much like almost like a Rocky movie, and it has kind of some long like shots, and he's walking, and he's trying to be kind of charming, but in sort of a
like
duncey way.
Yeah, exactly, like a Lady and the Tramp type of way, where he's like, oh, he's a tramp, he's just like kind of a street guy, and
but he sells it, I think. Like his first couple, he has a scene, so he's a dance instructor. And he has a scene with the person who owns, like, the studio he teaches at. And he's trying to be kind of charming to her because he's late. And that scene really worked for me, I thought. He was very charming. And then he has a scene where he approaches one of the lead actresses from this movie.
Yeah, he approaches her and he's, like, hitting on her.
He's hitting on her really hard, but in a genuinely charming way, I thought. Like, I really thought he was pretty charming in that scene. And,
I believe he
was straight.
He does that bit where he's like, oh, I gotta introduce you to my friend. But it's like, it's not a real friend. And he's like, oh, I'm gonna bring him up, and it's my friend. And then it's like, oh, it's me. You know what I mean? And she totally like slams the door in his face. And then, but then he actually gets pretty mad about that.
He does. There's an interesting undercurrent through his whole character of this genuine anger that he has about how shitty his situation is.
Yeah. He is incredibly self-absorbed.
Oh.
Incredibly self-absorbed.
I have to cut to it, even though it's the very end of the movie. But the end of the movie, and I won't spoil who it is, but he tells a girl, like, hey, let's get out of here. Like, you and me, I couldn't have done this without you. And then leaves without her.
Yeah.
And just struts down the fucking street,
well,
being all John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, exactly. So, because it's a sequel to Saturday Night Fever. So, Saturday Night Fever... He's like this club kid. Like, he's like this disco king, kind of.
Right, yeah, he's this huge deal in, like, this tiny, tiny disco scene in Brooklyn.
Yeah, and kicking ass. And then 5 years later, apparently, he's trying to be a dancer for some reason.
Right.
Which is weird. But it has like, yeah, the ending, it has a weird, like, one thing you do, strut, just like in Saturday Night Fever. But then he's like, fuck you, bitch, like, whatever. Everybody stays behind. He just struts by himself.
Yeah, he's super self-absorbed throughout the entire movie. And I don't really feel like he learns his lesson. Like,
he does not learn his lesson. Because also, he totally sacrifices her.
He's willing to sacrifice anyone. Like, I really...
Yeah, because remember, she's like, you don't have it. And then he, like, tosses her aside and he jumps on the thing and he's like, jump. That's a super fucking selfish thing to do. Where he's like, I'm the center of attention, motherfucker. Yep. It's like, me. And... It's weird. It's a weird... He is super fucking flawed in this movie.
Yeah, he is. Which I like, but also, like, I'm not sure what the takeaway is. That, like, if you want to be successful in show business, just fuck everyone else?
Yeah, no, I feel like, I mean, that should have been a thing that's brought up. Like, his shittiness should have been more brought up. Because he's a shitty fucking person. Like, he... treats Jackie, which is the blonde chick, which is a cuter of both of the chicks, decided. He treats her like shit. He fucking leaves her all the time.
Really badly.
Yeah.
He stands her up so many times.
Yeah, for the new chick. And she's still like, oh, well, you know, she's still like giving him a chance and stuff like that. No, he's a dick to her.
He really cares
about nothing except for himself. He's a shitty person.
And then you really feel like it's all building to him learning his lesson. It kind of seems for a moment like he does.
He does not.
No.
he does not learn his lesson.
Because like I said, even at the end, he's like, no, I really couldn't have done this without you. But I'm out.
Yeah. You really have like a second of like, hey, listen, by the way, I couldn't have done this without you. Like, I learned my lesson. Like, you want me, I want you, kiss. But then he's like, only one thing to do. Fuck you, bitch. I'm out. And then, like, he just leaves. And she stays.
That's, like, that should be the fucking tagline for this movie. Yeah. Fuck you, bitch. I'm out. I'm out.
Exactly. Because that's all he does in this fucking movie.
So, let's, just to give credit where credit is due. So, we mentioned Stallone, obviously, the director of this film. It was starring John Travolta, of course. The blonde that we talked about, her name is Cynthia Rhodes. Cynthia Rhodes,
married to Richard Marx.
Right. If you guys remember Richard Marx. Yeah. She's in quite a few dancing movies. She's in Dirty Dancing, which is we're going to be talking about.
That's like our next movie.
Yeah, she's also in Flashdance. And then the brunette who I thought reminded me a lot of a young Carrie Fisher.
Yeah, she'd really, but like a British young Carrie Fisher.
Yeah. Finola Hughes was that character. And the interesting thing about her, well, the interesting thing to me, because I'm a huge fucking nerd, is that she played Emma Frost in the, I believe it was 96? Generation X TV movie that was supposed to be a pilot for a new show that never got picked up.
Oh, man, that was a fucking wreck.
It was a fucking wreck. But like we said, we were both really excited when that came out, because I was a huge fan of the X-Men and of the Generation X comic and stuff. I was so stoked for that.
I remember when I heard about that movie and I made a point to like watch it.
Oh, yeah. I recorded that shit.
Yeah. God. And we were talking about it too. Like, if you go back and watch that now, go on YouTube right now and look that shit up. And it is so fucking dated.
It's not aged particularly well.
It has aged terribly. But well, it wasn't that good back then.
No, it wasn't good at the beginning. Actually, the effects were really garbage and
it was at a time when like, they were like, no. People like computer animation. Yeah. But they put the worst fucking computer animation. You remember the Langoliers? The Langoliers? The end of the Langoliers is the worst fucking computer animation that I've seen in a long fucking time. But it was like that same era, like late 90s, just CGI.
Yeah, they just threw anything in there. Yeah,
anything. But anyway,
she's Emma Frost in that. She's actually was in Beware the Batman for you other nerds out there. But she's also in General Hospital. She's been in a lot of... she's still a working actress. She's done a ton of stuff.
Thing. She's cute. Not as cute as Cynthia Rhodes. I think we both agreed that Cynthia Rhodes, the blonde, despite her 80s, like, short haircut.
Her haircut is terrible, man.
Yeah. Despite that, Cynthia Rhodes is still cuter.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure. And Stallone should have just 100% stayed with that.
You mean Travolta, but I see why you made the mistake.
Oh, yeah, no, because Travolta's just playing Stallone.
Yeah.
Well, it's fucking Italians, I don't know.
So that's our main cast. There's a few other people. There's the director of the show, which, This was an interesting little bit of trivia we found, which is that Paramount, the studio that produced the movie, wanted Stallone to play that role.
Yeah, which I could have seen.
Which I totally could have seen. And he passed on it saying, like, no, he didn't want to distract from Travolta performance, and it didn't want to make it about him. Plus, like, he was directing the movie, and that's, you know, that was the only imprint that he needed. I found that very funny, though, considering that, you know, it wasn't that many years before that that he had to, like, beg to let them be, because they didn't want to let him be Rocky, even though he wrote that movie. They wanted to cast anyone but him, and finally let him do it, and of course...
Yeah, guess what? Fucking three Rocky movies later.
Right, he's now, like, one of the biggest stars in the world.
Yeah, so all they want is him to be in that fucking movie. And, I mean, we talked about this, too, that fucking Kurtwood Smith should have been that guy.
Oh, Kurtwood, 100%.
100%, he's a way better actor than that
also
guy.
Also funny, and I never checked to see if this was true, but in the scene right after that, in the dance studio, I swear the mom from That 70s Show is in that scene.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We never checked it. Yeah, yeah. There's a scene where, like, it's like he's teaching that class or whatever, that dancing class. Yeah, that looks a lot like the mom from That 70s Show.
It is 100% the mom from That 70s Show. If it is not the mom from That 70s Show, then she has a twin.
Yeah. You know what you should say is that if it's not the mom from That 70s Show, you'll eat your hat.
I'm not wearing a hat, so I feel comfortable agreeing to that.
Well, it's a cool, like, 1920s way of saying, it's true. Yeah, I'll eat my hat. Weird, but I mean, back then people just wore hats.
That's true.
Yeah, so you would eat your hat. I don't know why eat your hat, but all right. Anyway,
long-standing rumor: JFK got, like, it was because of JFK not wearing a hat that became a thing. Not true.
Really?
Yeah, not true.
No,
JFK
shit.
Did wear a hat at his inauguration.
Yeah, but he stopped wearing a hat after that. I think that was the whole thing.
But still,
he made it cool to not wear a hat.
He made it cool to do a lot of things.
That's true. Bang Marilyn Monroe. Yeah. He was the reason why banging Marilyn Monroe was cool.
Yeah, I think so.
No, I feel like, all right.
Hating communists?
Maybe not banging Marilyn Monroe, but cheating on your wife, I think.
Yeah.
JFK made that cool. The 50s. All right, anyway, we're getting off track.
We're getting way off track. You know what is on track, though? Yeah, oh, we'll come back to that. On track is the outfits and the hair. Oh my God, guys.
1980s was a terrible time to wear outfits. If you're a woman, specifically.
Especially, yeah. Travolta, for the most part, he's wearing a leather jacket and, you know, you T-shirts can rock it and now. Stuff. It's fine. It's fine.
He wears, like, fitting jeans, a leather jacket, a T-shirt, and a scarf.
Yeah.
You see that shit everywhere still. Yeah. Like, that's still a thing.
Yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
I mean, he's wearing platform shoes the whole time.
Yeah, or boots.
Which you don't really see, or boots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But still, like, the women, though, are just, it's just shoulder pads.
Awful, dude. Shoulder pads, super high-waisted pants.
Yeah, no hips.
No, it's, and the hair, and the exercise outfits.
Oh, yeah, the super high, like, high-waisted bikini cut things.
Very,
yeah, it's awful.
It's really bad. Let's get physical.
Yeah, exactly.
Just like, so...
And then, it's funny because that shit carried through. Like, if you... this is 1983, right? Yeah. This is New York in 1983. If you look up fucking 1992 women's fashion, that's still a thing. Like, those fucking shoulder pads are still a thing. The high-waisted bikini cuts are still a thing. Like, all that shit is still, like, pump up the jam. You know what I mean? Like, all that shit is still, like, a thing.
I mean, not to throw her under the bus, but my mom had a shit ton of shoulder pads in her outfits.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, I've never seen your mom or met your mom or anything, but I'm going to say that she looked like shit. I'm going to say most of her,
we're going to have to pause real quick so I can beat the shit out of Francisco, but... No, that's, yeah, no, she had a shit ton of shoulder pads. That's just what it was.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, you know, our dads had a lot of facial hair. That was a thing, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, back in the early
80s. I've never seen my dad without a mustache, at least, at the very least.
Yeah, same thing with my dad, actually, now that you mention it. Yeah. And even, like, all the stuff that we see, like, I see pictures of them when they got married and stuff. There's a lot of facial hair in there.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of sideburns.
Sideburns,
too.
Man.
Yeah.
Sideburns.
Big hair, like, that was a thing.
Yeah. Huge hair. Straight, yeah, oh, yeah. Awkwafina, dude.
Yeah. Anyway.
Or Aquanet.
Aquanet. I think one of the things, Frank Stallone in this movie.
We've gone 20 minutes, it's about time we talk about Frank motherfucking Stallone.
Yeah.
So, Frank Stallone, Golden Globe, and Grammy nominated for this, Frank Stallone.
Yeah, for this fucking movie, for his song in this fucking movie.
Yeah. Which he's also in it.
Yeah. He actually, I think he's got the best part that you could give Frank Stallone in a fucking movie.
I think you're right.
Yeah. He's playing guitar for half of it, and then the rest of the time, he's just a guy.
He is. He's just kind of a jealous, kind of douchebaggy guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, I can just totally see Thanksgiving at the Stallones. Yeah. Why you never put Frank in none of your movies?
It's like, hey, you want to pull him in the movie? Give him a line. You know what I'm going to do? Give him a line. You got to play guitar, you know? He's just staying alive. I give him lines. He's playing guitar.
I mean, we're doing really bad Stallone impersonations.
He's got a hit song over here.
I feel like all the Stallones talk like that, though. So it could be his mom. It could be his grandmother. I don't know.
Probably peaked a bunch during that, too. But that's fine.
It's a lot of distortion
it's
in
that.
It's
just terrible, terrible Stallone impressions.
But yeah, Frank Stallone.
Yo, Adrian, I get Frank apart. He's got a part. He's singing. He's dancing. I don't know what he want. He's not going to be in my Rocky movies. He did not put him in the Rocky movies.
Damn right he didn't. He wanted those movies to be good.
Yeah. I wonder how much of this movie was just a paycheck, I wonder.
For Frank?
Yeah.
Do you think Stallone, like, did Sly do this entire movie just to be like, fine, I'll get you a part, Frank?
Yeah, like, he's like, all right, well, I can give Frank a part, so I'm going to fucking do this movie just to give Frank a part. Yeah. So then my mom gets off my fucking ass.
Yeah.
How about putting him in my movies?
Yeah.
He sucks. Like, he's, you know, I'm not going to say he's not a talented guy.
You know, and actually, the song, not bad.
Yeah, it's very quintessential.
The main song. He has like 6 songs in this movie, and most of them are garbage trash.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
The main hit song that he got nominated for.
It's a quintessential 80s montage
song.
It's
such an 80s montage song.
Yeah, it really is. It's a super fucking 80s, like fighting it out type of deal. It sounds like a Rocky movie.
It very much, like, to the point that I was, like, trying to rack my brains that, like, did he use this in one of the Rockies? Like, it sounds so much like
it sounded one of the, like
the Rocky montage songs.
Every other fucking montage song in the 80s, like, it sounds exactly like that. But this is 83, so I feel like this is before it got cliched.
Like, it was right on the, like, cusp of it. Because
cliche, yeah.
This is after Rocky III. This is the year after Rocky
III. That's true. And Rocky III is when it became a cliche.
Rocky III is the moment where Rockies went from like... the first 2 Rocky movies are just like serious, like badass dramas.
Yeah. And then
Rocky III is kind of...
He's fighting Hulk Hogan in the beginning. And Mr. T is just running his fucking yap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah, that's... You're right. That's the point of cliche at that point. Yeah. And then Frank Stallone... perfectly captures that cliche sound.
Yep, and just perfects it into a, like, have I heard this song before? Maybe, I don't know, but it sounds familiar.
Yeah. So if you're wondering what this fucking movie's about.
Right, we haven't really talked about the plot, have we?
Because what plot is there?
That's true. Like I said, this is a short film. This is a 20-minute movie somehow stretched into, like, 95 minutes.
Yeah, it is... 60 minutes of dancing and fucking montages, man. Oh. Like, it is harsh.
And it's not even fucking montages, because the one time Travolta's like, how about you and me take a couple hours to, like, appreciate each other? Then there's, like, 5 minutes of them walking around New York talking.
Having a good
and then
time.
Just cut to them in bed after sex.
Which, by the way, one of the best bedrooms I've ever seen.
An amazing bed.
Yeah, and it's her bedroom because she's super rich.
She's super rich. Yeah.
And it's like a California king bed, so it's like
but it's,
14
it's
beds
not just,
wide.
It's not just even the size of the bed. It's she has the like her headboard and floorboard on the bed are fucking huge, dude. They're like couches.
And they're super huge. They're like that clamshell style. And also she's got like lit up trees.
Yeah, she's got like lights and all kinds of
It's like these dead trees with lights in them on each side. Yeah. And like that was a weird thing to cut to, I thought.
Yeah, especially because like when that scene happens, you're like, at least for me, I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, we're gonna get like not anything serious. This is a, you know, a PG movie.
Yeah.
But we're going to get a couple, like, you know, lingering, slow, cool, sexy shots.
Backlit.
Right. You know, some soft focus, some pan across, and then, you know, fades into flowers kind of shit as they kiss, as shirts come off, you know, a bra gets dropped on the ground, that kind of stuff.
Like, just silhouettes.
And no, it's seriously 5 minutes of them walking around and Travolta telling jokes,
and
evidently, supposedly.
Trying to catch one of those horse cats.
Yeah, and she's just like laughing because we're supposed to believe he's funny, which I kind of do.
Yeah,
he's pretty charming.
He is pretty charming.
But and then just all of a sudden sex, and it was weird.
It just cuts to like super extravagant bedroom, and then them laying there. But she is a pretty cool character.
I actually like all the characters in this movie.
Yeah,
all the characters feel like. I said this as the movie was ending, is I feel like there's a really strong 25-minute movie in this.
Oh, yeah. For sure. And we talked about... Because here's how the movie plays out. Travolta's channeling Stallone. He's trying to make it. Like, Travolta's trying to make it the whole time, right?
So, yeah. So, at the beginning of the movie, we'll go through it step by step. So, at the beginning of the movie... It starts with him auditioning for a role, which he doesn't get, as a dancer in a Broadway show. You find out he's working currently as an instructor at like a little dance studio somewhere there in Manhattan.
Yeah, it's a shitty fucking gig he's doing, yeah.
And he's sort of, kind of, not really, but sort of seeing, it's kind of a Friends with Benefits situation.
Seeing Jackie.
With Jackie, and who also works at the dance studio and also sings at this nightclub. And he
gets cast as a backup dancer.
He eventually, well, before that even, Jackie is in a show.
Yeah.
And the star of that show, Travolta really takes a shine to.
Yeah.
So that's where after the show, he goes up to her. That's the scene we were talking about earlier where he's trying to charm
her
and hitting on her and stuff. And then she tells him, like, hey, we're having an audition for our next show. Maybe you should come. And he's like, oh, you know, maybe I will. You don't want to.
Because again,
I'm not just doing like
because
that.
Because that's
Stallone,
how fucking Travolta does in this. He's just channeling Stallone.
Maybe. So he, you know, and so then he gets cast as this backup dancer in this Broadway show. And at the same time, he's trying to see this
weird
girl.
Triangle thing.
Like, it's a love triangle. For most of the movie, it's a love triangle.
Yeah. He is with Jackie, kind of, but she's super into him. But he's like, I like this new girl now. So he jumps ship over to this new girl. But this new girl is super, like, progressive and, like, I fuck whoever I want and all that stuff. And it super hits his fucking machismo sensibilities.
Yeah, he's so super jealous. Every time she doesn't pay 100% attention to him, he flips the fuck out.
Yeah, and it goes back to that whole, like, he is super fucking self-absorbed. Like, he at any time... we're talking about that scene where he's like, where she's like, you want to come and get a drink? She's like, you want to come up and get a drink? And he's like, no, because there's another guy there.
You're right.
When I'm like, if she asks you to come up and get a drink, that's a thing. Like, that means, like, I don't like this old dude. But he's so self-absorbed that he's like, what the fuck?
Despite the fact that he's kind of cheating on his sort of girlfriend.
With her, yeah.
With her. He can take no competition, no even the perception of, like, there's a scene at a party where she's talking to the director.
And he's like, what the fuck is that?
Yeah. Like, he's immediately super jealous of it.
Super jealous and possessive. But that's a good character flaw that I like, that I feel like it should have been exploited.
And it seems super believable. Like, I totally... That felt real.
Yeah, no, for real. That felt like a real person. Like, that's... I've done that before.
Like I said, there is totally a really good movie in there somewhere. And I don't know if that's just Stallone's rewrites or what, but there is a good movie in there. It's just...
Yeah, so...
Literally 50 minutes this movie is dancing.
Yeah. So we do that. So he's playing this, like, two-girl situation. And then...
And he fucks it up, as you mentioned.
Yeah, no, he fuck. Oh, so there's a part where he is supposed to meet up with Jackie, who was the cutest of both of them. But
she's like, hey, you know, he's like, hey, you want to meet up tonight? Like, I'll meet you outside your place at 9.
Because
remember, no cell phones, any of that shit. So I'll just meet you.
That is set in stone.
And then the brunette dancer, is like, hey, I'm having a Christmas party at 10. You should come.
Yeah. And then he's like, all right, well, maybe I'll be there. And she's like, no, you come. And he's like, all right, well, whatever. So he goes to that fucking Christmas party, stands up Jackie.
Yeah, just blows her off completely.
Blows her off completely. And goes to that party and then gets super jealous because the director is like touchy-feely with her.
And because there's a ton of other people there. Because of course there's a ton of other people there. It's because it's a fucking party. Yeah.
So my theory was he fucked that up because what he should have done is... he should have brought Jackie to that party and then used that jealousy to get Laura to be like, oh, well, like super possessive of him. And then bam, like all the chips are in his fucking... Yeah.
And that theory is proved 100% right when like two scenes later, Jackie does the same thing to him with Frank Stallone.
Yeah. So he does that. He stands her up and then... he goes and he's like, I'm sorry. And she's like, I'm not going to do this anymore. Like, clearly I am number two. Yeah, I'm tired of your shit.
Because that's the second time I think he stood her up in the movie.
Yeah. That's the second time. And then also he calls her in the middle of the night, which we can relate to that shit. He calls her in the middle of the night after like getting kind of rejected.
I mean, he doesn't have the excuse of being drunk, but I can still
relate. Yeah. And he's like, hey, what's going on? Are you alone? But anyway... I lost my train of thought on this.
No, he blew the jealousy train.
Yeah, he blows the jealousy train because he should have brought her, used that jealousy. And then what she does is she tells him like,
he begs her after a couple of days. He's like, hey, no, I really, you know, mm-hmm. I really need your help. Like, come to this thing with me. Like, please. Like, he's being charming about it and stuff.
He's he's like, I'm sorry about all that
sorry,
stuff.
Sorry, everything. And, like, come meet me
and
here.
And she's like, I got plans.
And he's like, no, you don't. You don't have plans, you know. Come on, go over and meet me. And so eventually she's like, all right, well, maybe.
And she shows up with Frank Stallone.
Who she already knew Travolta was jealous of because Stallone
Because they play in the same band.
Yeah, they play in the same band. And Travolta was already like, hey, what's that guy? He's staring at us while we're talking over here. Like,
oh, no, and Stallone is super creepy in that.
Oh, he's super creepy because he literally is staring them down as he's playing.
Like, and then like...
And thrusting his hips the whole time.
And the guitar is like his cock. Like the guitar is in cock. It, like, it's in between his legs, so the guitar is in cock form.
Yeah, it's already very much a phallic thing, but especially the way Frank Stallone's gyrating at Travolta
and holding it.
And Jackie,
So she brings him, and it works like a fucking charm.
Oh, so much.
So, they're in, like he, then after that, all he wants is her attention, because she brought Frank Stallone... So then all he wants is her attention.
Yeah.
And, like, it's a perfect manipulation, like, perfect way of using jealousy that she brings up. And then...
She nails it.
She
but
nails
also,
it.
I found it so funny in that scene, because Travolta, who, remember, is a professional dancer, who in this movie is constantly prancing around in the most ridiculous tights... It's like, so what's the deal with that fruity guitarist?
what's the deal with that fruity guitarist playing in a band?
Like, what?
No. You're a fucking professional dancer. Like, you're the fruit. In this.
Again, nothing wrong with it.
Nothing wrong with it, yeah.
It's just really funny that he would be trying to call someone out.
Yeah, exactly. And we talked about this too. Frank Stallone could clearly destroy him.
Oh, yeah. I feel like... Stallone's second niece on his grandmother's side could beat the shit out of any of us.
Especially any Travolta.
Oh, yeah.
Especially 1983 Travolta. I mean, this is the most cut.
But still.
But still, yeah. No, this is the dancing cut.
Yeah, this is dancing cut. Like, he is very lean. Like, when we say that he is cut, he is very, like, he has, like, very low body fat percentage.
No. There's a lot of muscles in there.
There's a lot of muscles in there. But at the same time, like, I mean, he's not Stallone. Like, he's not jacked in the way that, like, even, like, that you'll see out of, like, modern superhero movies or anything like that.
No, he's not jacked. He's just, like lean.
Yeah, he's just super lean. Yeah.
By the way, I guess Travolta said that Stallone was his favorite director to work with.
Yeah.
Because he made him look the best out of all the directors.
Which I totally, like... And we were looking, you know, this movie, Stallone actually got nominated, or, excuse me, Travolta.
Again.
We're
going to
do that all
playing that fucking
thing.
Because Travolta's playing Stallone.
And also, I wish it was Stallone.
Yeah, I wish it was.
No, in all fairness, actually, I really like Travolta in this movie.
Yeah, no, Travolta's
and that's what
super
I'm
charming.
At. Like, Travolta's super charming in this movie. He's super charismatic. He looks good. He sells the part. He's flawed in a really human way. Which is why it was actually shocking to me that he got nominated for a Razzie.
Yeah. No, actually, I don't feel like he or like nobody should have gotten nominated for a Razzie in this. No. Yeah.
This is not a good movie.
It's not a good movie.
This is not a good movie. This is not.
You're looking for a good movie. This is not a good movie. No.
This is, like I said, this is maybe 20 minutes of a good movie.
Oh, yeah.
With a bunch of bullshit.
Yeah, this is.
But I think that 20 minutes, that 30 minutes, because, like, if you're giving, like, the bad parts of this movie are all the montages and the dancing and shit, and you can't really judge someone's performance based on that.
No, like...
And in fairness, I mean, Travolta's not a bad dancer. Travolta's a good dancer. Everyone in the movie is a good dancer. It's just that shit is boring and dumb.
Yeah, well, this is after, like, Staying Alive was... I'm not sorry, Staying Alive. Saturday Night Fever,
yeah.
Was, like, he was already dancing and doing all the dance, like learning how to dance and all that shit.
Right.
And
look, if you love dancing, that's fine.
I'm gonna go out and say it's the worst fucking musical I've ever seen in my life.
It's so bad. So, the last... let's get back to the plot,
like,
because
30 fucking minutes.
It's the last 30 fucking minutes. And, you know, I said it during the while we were watching it, but I really feel like you could improve this movie, what, 20%, 120%?
Yeah, you can improve this movie a
300
lot.
Million percent just by recutting it to, yeah. Like, if you're going to have 30 minutes of this fucking movie, at least 30,
be yeah.
this
of dance,
stupid,
yeah.
shitty Broadway dance show. You could just start with the dance show and keep cutting back into the actual movie.
Yeah. So, Seitz had a great fucking idea about how to fix this movie.
I appreciate, and you had a good idea too, which is, you know, but yeah, we'll get to your idea after my great idea.
Yeah, after your awesome idea. So his great idea is this: you play the storyline and then also play the musical at the same time as the storyline, cutting back and forth.
Right.
And it actually means something when you see the musical cut with what's happening in his life.
Right. And then when you get the moments where they're dancing angry, like if you cut to the scenes where Travolta's super pissed at her and he's super jealous, and then you cut to them dancing and he's angry and he's throwing her around.
Yeah, that raw, like it has, anger. Yeah, yeah.
Then that actual, like the idea that the show is supposed to have passion and supposed to have this sexual tension actually means something because they're in the midst of it instead of that already being done.
Yeah, exactly. So the story plays out, and then after that, we get like half an hour of this
of a
shitty
Broadway
fucking musical.
Oh, like just so the bad. Shittiest.
And then it's got this weird like gimp thing.
Yeah.
This weird S&M thing.
Oh, the outfits. Oh my god, the outfits are incredibly
so bad.
Like ridiculous. Like the dudes are wearing basically Speedos with suspenders, essentially.
Yeah.
But it's all one piece.
But then there's other dudes with the mask and the whips.
Oh yeah, the mask and the whips dudes.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be like a Dante's Inferno, but
not at all.
I mean, it's not Dante's Inferno, obviously, but
clearly this is a very expensive show.
Yeah.
And if in the 80s, if my wife took me to this very expensive show, I would slaughter her. I would kill her. There's no way, because it's New York also. So.
I mean, I wouldn't do that, but she would have to be like giving me blowjobs for like the next year. No questions asked.
Yeah, it would have to be like blowjob city.
Anytime. Like I'm watching the game, bitch, on your knees. Like it would have to be.
It would have to be blowjob city.
Yeah.
Yeah. And blowjob city is where I've always wanted to live. always, no matter what. I think every movie that we do a podcast about, I'm always like, if I can get to Blowjob City, like that's where I want to live.
That's fair.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it's an awful fucking musical.
It's really, really bad.
It is, and there's no plot in it either.
Not really. Like, it seems to be something about, like,
this animalistic thing
and passion.
But they never talk.
Sin, but there's no, yeah.
There's no dialogue in it. It's just like,
it's
dancing,
a mess.
Yeah.
It's a goddamn mess. And I did see, there was actually the first review that came up on IMDb was a person who really liked this movie and really thought the dancing was exquisite.
I don't know who this dude is.
Like, what the fuck, dude?
1983 like, is dancing, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, I don't understand. Maybe it's because we don't see enough Broadway musicals.
I mean, I see, but this has no, there's no singing, there's no fucking performance,
no.
There's no story, this isn't fucking Phantom, this
it's
isn't
like, it's like 14 Fog Machines.
Yeah, this is just, this is a fucking ballet show. Like, yeah,
it really, it's like a lot of fog machines and a lot of like leather and super scantily like clad guys and girls.
There is a lot of ass in this
gyrating.
Movie.
Gyrating, yeah.
Like if you want people prancing around, men and women, in just fucking next to nothing, like there's bulges and asses and tits galore.
Overkill. Because if you look at like fucking Footloose, there's like one stupid scene in Footloose where he's in the warehouse and he's just gotta dance.
Right.
Like that's the thing. Like in the 80s, you just have to fucking dance. Yeah. Like you just have to dance your shit away in the 80s. In this one, it's like 40 minutes.
Which is ironic because I know they had cocaine.
Yeah. You could just coke it up. I don't understand. And it's New York. It's New York. So you could just cocaine it up 100%. And I feel like John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever was cocaining it up.
Yeah.
So why isn't John Travolta in Staying Alive cocaining it up?
They even make it a point, actually. He's not drinking. He's not cussing. He's not doing drugs.
Yeah. I've read a couple things where they're like, oh, he doesn't even cuss as much as in Saturday Night Fever.
No, he doesn't cuss at all.
At all. Yeah, exactly.
This is a PG movie. This is a clean movie.
Yeah, it really is a PG movie. You could watch this with your kids and just loosely explain.
I mean, don't.
Yeah, do not. I mean, don't watch it. Yeah. No, there's some saving grace.
It makes me sad because there, like I said, there is a good movie in there somewhere.
And we enjoy Stallone's directing.
I really do. There's a lot of sequences in this. Like you said, there's the first scene he's with Jackie.
It's really good.
It's all backlit with the window and they're in shadows and they're kind of talking. And it's that very relatable morning after. I got shit to do. You got shit to do.
Yeah. It you know what? It almost feels like Stallone directed the first half of the movie and then the editor directed the second half of the movie.
I would believe that.
Yeah. It almost feels like that. Like
it. Well, you know what it actually does feel like? You're right. It feels like they brought Stallone in to direct all of the dialogue scenes.
Yeah. And then the musical shit.
All the musical shit is just...
Just cut whatever. Together by a guy who directs. By a guy who's done some Broadway shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like they took a Broadway editor, like a guy that, or a Broadway director that just does those kind of shitty Broadway on VHS shows.
Oh, yeah.
We're just like
Cats on VHS and shit, yeah.
Stallone made this 30-minute short film, just fucking cut this together with, make it 95 minutes long.
Yeah. This feels like one of those movies that goes, and actually it was named one of the 100 most enjoyable bad movies ever made.
Which I can believe that.
Yeah, it goes into that showgirls category, I think. Where,
okay.
Yeah, you're...
Less tits.
Oh, yeah, a lot less tits.
Lesbianism.
Cynthia Rhodes, you get to see that, like, jumpsuit.
She's wearing some,
like, no bra type of situation. Yeah, it's actually pretty hot. But yeah, like, you get, like, this, like, enjoyable bad movie from it. And also it's one of those movies where you can watch and then when it starts getting into the musical shit, you could just get up and go do other shit and let that shit play out.
That's very true. Or you can just fast forward. Like you could get through, if you want to watch this movie, you can get through this movie in like 40 minutes easy.
Yeah, easy. If you just, every time the music comes up, just fast forward to that shit. Easy.
Yeah.
And just play the same song in your fucking head.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because God, it's so much fucking music montage in this fucking movie. I don't know.
I feel like we're harping on it, but this movie fucking harps on it. Like
We don't harp. The movie harps
so
on it.
So much, dude.
It's also a good example of one of those movies that was super successful because Saturday Night Fever was so successful. You know what I mean?
Right. And people wanted to see that. Travolta, big star.
It was 6 years later.
Stallone,
Travolta, still a big star.
You know?
Yeah, Stallone.
You throw his name on it.
It was after Rocky III, and all of a sudden, like it's like this big sequel that everybody's waiting for.
Right.
So it didn't matter if it fucking sucked.
It was one of the top 10 movies of that year.
Yeah, one of the top 10 movies, 1983. Yeah.
So I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at.
No, for sure. And it's not a good movie.
No, it's not. It's just... Oh, it's so disappointing to me.
Yeah, I would say, one of the best things about this movie is Frank Stallone's used the best that I've ever fucking seen.
It's true. It's honestly, so true. I love just his, just when he's dogging Travolta, just fucking staring him down. Hey,
yeah.
You okay over there?
We've seen Frank Stallone in other stupid shit. Like, he was in King of Queens, right? Or something like
that. I never saw that.
In King of Queens. He was one of his friends in King of Queens. And he's been in other stupid bullshit. I'm going to say this is Frank Stallone's best role. Yeah. And I feel like you could quote me on that and know how ridiculous that sounds.
I can't argue that.
Yeah.
Frank Stallone, man.
Frank Stallone's best role. Staying Alive. Yeah, quote me on that shit. Put that shit on.
Put it on the box.
Put that shit on the
box. A masterpiece of Frank Stallone acting.
Yeah.
Oh, Staying Alive.
But you're right. There's a solid movie in there.
Yeah, I feel it peeking out. And it's sort of, not too long ago, maybe a year or two ago, I rewatched Driven.
Oh, yeah, wrote. Stallone's Driven. Yeah, for sure.
Stallone wrote it. It's Rennie Harlan.
Yeah.
And that's a movie the same, different in that, I mean, there are a shit ton of montages because there's so much car racing.
Yeah.
But it's in the same way, you can see a good film in there. It's just,
you just gotta dig it out. God, that's rough.
It's really, really is.
That's too dumb. Oh, okay, so what did he direct after this?
Stallone. So he directs Rocky IV right after this.
So he does Rocky IV.
So he goes Rocky III, then this, and then Rocky IV.
Which,
and then, and this is the craziest fucking shit.
Nothing.
21 years.
Yeah, but you guys, everybody, we all remember Stallone in the fucking early 90s.
Sure, yeah. Cliffhanger, yeah. Judge Dredd, yeah. Demolition Man. I fucking love Demolition
Man. Oh, Demolition Man's fucking great. What's that one where he's stuck in the fucking tunnel? Daylight is pretty solid.
It's good.
That is a fun fucking action movie.
Specialist with Sharon Stone.
Yeah. All that shit. He does not direct any of that until Rocky Balboa.
Until Rocky Balboa, which is a great movie.
Which, Rocky Balboa is the second best.
Let me tell you something you already know.
The second best of the Rocky movies.
About how hard you can hit.
Yeah.
How hard you can get. Anyways.
You used to fit this hand right here.
Anyways.
Yeah. One of the best fucking speeches.
Yeah. So fucking good. Anyways.
So good.
Anyways.
But he doesn't
direct anything. He doesn't direct anything for 21 goddamn years. That's insane to me.
And he did a lot of shit, but he did a lot of really good shit. Copland is an amazing movie.
So good. James Mangold, great movie. And he wrote some movies. He wrote some of the Rambos later.
Yeah, he wrote some of the later Rambos.
He wrote what else did he write around that time? I want to say, he wrote Rocky V.
And then Rocky V had its moments.
It had its moments. It's not as bad as you remember it, even though it is bad.
No, go back and watch Rocky V.
It's not bad. There's a lot of thematic stuff that really carries over from the earlier movies.
And I feel like most of the problems with Rocky V is the fucking acting.
Of Tommy Gunn?
Yeah, Tommy Gunn is fucking garbage.
His son is garbage.
His son
too.
Is garbage. Oh my God. And they're big characters. And it is just garbage.
Yeah, and even the fucking, the boxing promoter,
The guy that plays kind of like the Don King type.
What I'm trying to think of. Yeah, the Don King wannabe. Like, that guy's not good either.
Oh, awful. Yeah,
that's bad.
Yeah. So, but you can see all the, like Stallone's credits throughout, and he doesn't direct another movie after 4 till Rocky fucking Balboa, which is amazing.
Yeah,
which is,
and then he follows that up with Rambo, which is the best action movie of at least the best American action movie of that decade, I think.
Oh, for sure.
It's really, fucking good and bloody crazy action. If you discount the Tony Jaa and the Jackie Chan and Jet Li movies of that era.
He's an amazing. He's a good director.
He is a good director.
Stallone was a great director,
and I will stand by that to the end.
Yeah, I feel like because he worked for it, that's why he worked for it really hard, and you even get that in this movie. You get that in the first Rocky. You get this autobiographical he's fucking working just to make it.
Yeah, I really feel like there's a really interesting alternate reality out there where Stallone didn't become an action star and he just became like Robert De Niro.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah,
that would really I don't know. I would like to. I'd like that Rick and Morty cable box to watch that dimension.
to watch the Stallone dimension. The Stallone dimension where he's just like a
The biggest fucking drama star and has like three Oscars and he's like one for best director for Braveheart because in that world he directed Braveheart.
I'll give it to Stallone, man. He is a great director. He is a really solid actor, and I feel like he fell into his own cliche of shit.
He did. I mean, he totally... And look, when people are throwing millions of dollars at you, it's pretty hard not to be like, no, I want to keep my artistic
integrity. Yeah, yeah, I'm going to do like, Rambo 3. Yeah. Like, I'm going to do that shit. Yeah, exactly. And this totally seems like that movie to me.
Yeah, this is definitely a... Well, I think it's a combination. I can totally see this where it's a combination of like, hey, we're going to pay you a lot of money.
A shitload of money.
Also... Yeah. Like, I can see Travolta going to him and being like, no, man, you got to understand this is about a guy's soul. This is about a heart of a man trying to accomplish a thing. And I can see that really, you know, speaking to Stallone and really speaking to Travolta for that matter.
Yeah.
Like, you know, seeing, like, I mean, they're both, like, I mean, they were fairly young when they got their big breaks, but still, it's both a struggle.
Them, yeah.
It's just still a struggle out there. Like, you're still working really hard and you still have a lot of disappointments, even when you're a success, to get to that point.
But do you feel like I don't feel like he captures it. Like I feel like
he captures 5% of it. Yeah,
I feel like that came up and then you know Travolta is like, oh, this is about a guy's soul and all stuff. And he's like, oh yeah, yeah, I'm on board. And then they're like, you have to put 10 BG songs in, yeah. Motherfucker. And then he's like, oh okay, well I have fucking 30 minutes worth of movie and then fucking 45 minutes worth of BG songs.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's pretty much what it is. And even, like I said, I mean, I think
how
much more interesting would this have been if Travolta would have just fucking blown it?
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. What if he just fucking,
just falling apart, like, because he's never performed in that kind of audience. He's never been the star of a Broadway show. If he just fucking tanked.
Yeah. So what happens, back to the plot, they have this fucking weird... Broadway show. There's gimps in this. There's whips.
There's gimps. There's wimps. There's demons.
Yeah, there's
succubi,
demons.
Maybe.
I don't understand what the fuck is going on this whole fucking time.
They're
but
in
then,
hell, maybe, but she's the devil, but maybe not.
So he kisses her.
She scratches the fuck out of him
because he's not supposed to kiss her.
Right.
And he kisses her
not
because
cool, dude.
He's trying to be like a fucking man about it, and she scratches the fuck out of him, and then. Afterwards, when they're
but
like...
But also pretty unprofessional by her. Like, you got to be able to improv on stage,
yeah,
guys.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Like, I know, you know, we've done stage shows.
Yeah,
like, you
got
to be able to roll with the shit.
You should
If someone flubs their lines, you roll with that.
You roll with that shit. And actually, it's a very well-timed kiss.
It like, is.
That
like,
because
it's at the fucking
really
climax
well.
Of the dance. Yeah.
So she scratches him, and then, like, between the fucking show and all that shit, she's like, you don't have it. Like, she totally takes his balls.
Yeah.
And she's like, you don't have it, which just hits him right at the heart. So what does he do? He fucking tosses her aside.
He literally, as they're building to the climax of the movie, he, like, twirls her around and tosses her ass.
So she's, like, laying on the ground, and he's like, it's all me, motherfuckers.
And he does, like, a five-minute dance solo.
Yeah. Which is super self-indulgent.
Super
self-indulgent. And then he's like, oh, like I'm dancing. And then he gets on this platform and he's like, come jump up and like join me. And then everybody's like, jump. It's such a crazy jump.
Yeah.
And then she jumps and she nails it. And then he picks her up and he nails it.
Yeah. And they nail it and it's in front of the big lights and everyone claps.
Again.
And his mom's like, oh.
Yeah. Missing the opportunity that he should have fucked it
just
up.
Just dropped her ass.
Yeah. He should have, like, the whole
point. What I really thought was going to happen, honestly, or what I hoped or imagined or masturbated to, was you know, that like, he would be awesome, but he would be such a dick and such a, like,
because
fuck stuff up so much to, like, self-indulge during the show that the director would come up to him afterwards and be like, you're fucking fired.
Yeah. I feel like this movie should have ended with he fucked it up hard. Like, he fucked it up with his self-indulgence, and he fucked everything up, And then they're like, get the fuck out of here. You're fucking fired. Yeah. And then he's like, fuck you guys. I don't need anything.
But
and
it doesn't end with that.
It doesn't end with
that. It ends with him, again.
He picks her up, and it's everybody's like, standing ovation. Yeah.
Standing ovation, best show ever.
Way cliched.
And then.
Best show ever.
Best show ever. Ah. Super cliched. Then he has the scene with Jackie again, where he's like, I couldn't have done this. I'm just going to do. From now on, Travolta and Stallone are the same person to me.
Yeah.
Hey, you enter in. And I couldn't have done this without you.
He's got that great scene where he like kisses her and like makes eye contact with her.
Yeah.
Where he's like...
he's kissing Jackie and he's making eye contact with the brunette girl, yeah.
Fuck her name is, I can't remember. But anyway, yeah, he makes eye contact with her, but he's kissing Jackie. And then he's like, you know what I gotta do now?
You gotta strut.
And he ditches all the bitches.
All that is, all that fucking is like, what's the most iconic scene from Saturday Night Fever?
Strutting. To fucking
Bee Gees.
Staying alive.
So
yeah.
That's they just do it again.
Strutting to staying alive.
And now it's in fucking Times Square.
Yeah. So he just struts to, and then like he's like ditches all the bitches and he's like, I'm strutting to staying alive. And then that's it. That's the end of the fucking movie.
Oh God, dude.
It is harsh. All right. So you as an audience have 30 minutes worth of solid movie.
Yeah.
This movie's going to lead you in. It's going to like, it's going to make you think like.
I said maybe, what, 6-7 minutes into the movie, I was like.
I'm on board.
I was like, I think I might actually like this movie.
Yeah, you're like, this is actually a pretty good movie so far. It's like 15 minutes in.
Yeah.
And it's like super Stallone-y.
Yeah, super Rocky, super early Rocky, like Rocky 1, Rocky 2.
Yeah.
Loser, trying to make something of himself. Like the way, trying like charming, but kind of not like not charming in a.
It's an interesting thing to be like, you know what I really want is to like really get a awesome chick.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's what this is happening. Like that's what's happening here. It's like he really wants an awesome chick.
I felt like they never really touched on was so like we mentioned we felt like the blonde Jackie.
Yeah, was way better. Yeah.
But I always thought it wasn't so much that the brunette was prettier to Travolta, it was that she was a star.
Oh yeah, that's true. That's a good point. Yeah.
And they never really go into that. And I thought that was a missed opportunity. Like him,
so
because he wants to make something of himself that when he sees this person who is the headliner,
yeah,
and just immediately is like, no, that is what I want.
Yeah,
because not even because he wants her, but because he wants her life.
Yeah, when this is a Black Swan situation,
very much. And you mentioned that we talked about that. That was your idea during the movie. Was like they really needed to tie what was going on with the show
with what's going with on what's in his life.
Yeah, exactly. And they don't really do that.
And they don't do that. And it's really like it's a missed opportunity because when you're a performer, when you're an actor, when you're in a fucking musical, like that shit comes into your life. You know what I mean? And I feel like it was a super missed opportunity that his life should have been completely revolved on this because we don't get a lot of his life in this.
No, because we have so many goddamn dancing montages.
Yeah, because I feel like Travolta's life in this movie is just dancing montages.
It really is.
Yeah.
So
it's really bad.
That's the movie. That's the plot.
It is an awesome 30-minute movie. A shitty hour and 40-minute movie.
Yeah. That's pretty much what it is. You know, like we said, don't bother watching it if you haven't. But, you know, there's some good in it.
Oh, also Patrick Swayze.
You get a quick Patrick Swayze shout out.
Yeah, he's a cameo.
He's one of the dancers.
Yeah, he's one of the background dancers, Patrick Swayze. Yeah.
Which makes sense. He's a dancer
guy. If you miss Patrick Swayze like I do, I miss Patrick Swayze every day.
Not every day, but sure, yeah.
Yeah, every day I miss Patrick Swayze, man.
Day I wake up and I look at my Roadhouse picture.
Point Break pictures. Point Break. And I'm like,
I look at him and Keanu and I'm just like, God damn,
I miss
you beautiful
Patrick
bastards.
Tracy so much. Yeah, no.
But, so that's the movie. Now we're going to move on to the final segment, that is recommendations.
Yeah, what now, we again, recommend
if you're
to you?
New to the show, this is a recommendation of a movie that is in some way similar or has some sort of connection.
Or even like there's an actor in it that's in it.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's just like
just something.
Something that connects it rather than just a random good movie. Because look, if we're just suggesting random good movies, like, you know, anyone could do that.
Yeah, no, no. I would be like Reservoir Dogs every time.
Yeah,
sure. Yeah, no, no. No, this is something that connects to it. There's an actor or a fucking theme or just
right.
any, like, smallest bit of connection to it.
Yeah, and yeah. I think you have a good one locked and loaded.
Yeah, of course. All right, so my suggestion this episode is Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
And I go Boogie Nights 100%. First of all, because P.T. Anderson is one of the best directors ever.
Yeah.
I would say P.T. Anderson is one of the greatest directors of our lifetime.
He's fucking great.
Yeah, he is amazing. But Boogie Nights is...
But also the fact that Mark Wahlberg...
Yeah, Mark Wahlberg plays this exact character.
Exactly.
He plays this exact John Travolta character. He's this, like, fish out of water type of, like, new kid trying to start up. It just so happens that in Boogie Nights, it's a porn industry and not a musical. Not like Broadway, you know? I feel like when P.T. Anderson made Boogie Nights, he 100% had the John Travolta character locked down. Like, it's this, like, weird 80s, like, super self-indulgent character that is trying to just fucking make it. Like, that's all he's fucking trying to do is make it. And in Boogie Nights, you see this rise and fall of this character, Dirk Diggler. It's one of the best fucking names ever.
Such a good name.
Yeah, such a good fucking
name. I'm nodding my head the entire time while he's talking.
Yeah. Yeah, and P.T. Anderson is just fucking nails it in this type of character without all the musical montage bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, he nails this character trying to make it out of his house and trying to make it big. And that's what John Travolta's trying to do in this. He's trying to make it big out of his fucking house. And Dirk Diggler does it in Boogie Nights. Watch Boogie... If you have not seen Boogie Nights, I seriously hate you. I seriously fucking hate you. Boogie Nights is one of those fucking movies. It's like Goodfellas. It's like fucking... all the Scorsese movies. Like Taxi Driver. It's one of those, like... Or Pulp Fiction. It's one of the movies that you have to fucking watch as a film student or just as a lover of cinema.
Just as a person who lives and breathes in 2016.
Yeah, watch fucking Boogie Nights. It's amazing.
Anyway. It actually, like, Boogie Nights, it took me a while to watch because I think maybe my parents didn't let me watch it when it came out because it's kind of, you know.
Yeah, because it dicks. Shows this 10-inch cock at the end. Yeah. He literally, if you have not seen Boogie Nights,
it's
he
like
whips out a 10-inch cock.
10-inch
yeah.
cock, yeah.
Yeah, at the end.
I mean, yeah. Yeah, Boogie Nights is fucking great. I cannot argue with that.
Yeah. But what is your choice?
My choice is kind of on the opposite end of that. The opposite end of this movie. It is Birdman.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Very recent movie. I'm guessing a lot of you have seen it, but maybe some of you haven't. And, you know, Birdman is also a movie.
It is an amazing fucking movie.
First of all, it's an amazing goddamn movie.
Yeah.
The cinematography, the planning, the, you know, the fact that they make it all more or less seem like one shot.
Yeah.
You know, the rope tricks where they're, you know, look at, you know, cutting as they cut to walls.
It goes into, like, the behind the scenes.
Jesus, it's
shit.
So good. But it's basically, it's on the opposite end where it's also a theater, it's a Broadway show being put together. And it's all the behind the scenes, much like this is. But instead of someone trying to rise to fame, it's someone at the end who's trying to desperately grasp at that fame, grasp at that... Not even so much fame, so much as, like, respect.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Birdman, again, if you haven't watched Birdman, I hate you as well. Because it's an amazing fucking movie.
Yeah, and it's just, the performances in Birdman are phenomenal. Ed Norton, Michael Keaton, like, goddamn, guys.
Yeah. It's got this awesome behind-the-scenes, like, Broadway show.
And it feels very, very real. Even, now, I've never been on Broadway, but even some of the theater I've done, like, yeah, it feels so authentic.
Yeah, that visceral, like, oh, I gotta go out and
fucking just the like, the self-indulgence again.
Oh, yeah,
and
that's true.
Just the people that are so, self-focused and so, you know, ignoring of anything that doesn't fit in their particular view of themselves and of what's important to them.
Yeah, no, 100%, man. Like, that Birdman is like a perfect encompassing of like what it is to be like backstage and
at
perform
a
at a show, yeah, and perform. And like, how much of that is just you?
Right.
How much is just fucking you? And then I think that that comes through in Staying Alive.
I think so too. Yeah. So a little bit, not as much as it really should, but that's my connection. And Birdman's a good movie, so fuck you. Watch it.
Yeah, go watch that shit. If you have not seen that, go watch that shit. Shame on you for not seeing that.
So that is the end of the podcast. Before we go, real quick, we do want to remind you all to share and like this and subscribe.
Like
and,
all this bullshit shit. You know, share all this bullshit.
Yeah, do all that stuff. Leave reviews. You know, we're really going to start. We've got a few episodes
what
up
we
now.
Got next week, we've got Dirty Dancing.
Next week, Dirty Dancing. So we're right back to the dancing.
Yeah, I don't know if you know that. I don't know if you all know this, but you cannot put baby in a corner, apparently.
If you try.
From what I understand, do not put baby in a corner.
Yeah.
So
I'm not saying you'll be fucked up the ass, but you might be fucked up the ass.
Also, it's gonna fucking suck. Dirty Ass is not a good movie.
Yeah, well, yeah. We'll talk about that next week. So yes, join us next week for Dirty Dancing. In the meantime, tell your friends, tell everybody, subscribe, all that bullshit, like, rate, review. You know, blockbusternostalgia.blogspot.com, podomatic.com, iTunes.
Like,
we're
us,
on Twitter,
share us, all that.
We're on Facebook.
Shit. It's all so easy to just share us. Don't be a dick.
Yeah, just help us out, please. Next week, actually. So this will be our last show. I believe this will be our last show before Christmas.
Yes, this is going to be our last show before Christmas.
Next week, on Christmas Day, hopefully.
Hopefully, yes.
You will see, you will hear a completely clean, completely family-friendly live episode that we recorded back in November at the Tucson Comic Convention. That's going to be, yeah, the Comic Con. That's going to be coming up. So, you know, hey, sit down with the grandpa, the grandma, the nieces, the nephews. Introduce them all to Blockbuster
like happy
Nostalgia.
Times. Yeah, yeah.
It's going to be
sure.
all just good, fun, family friendly, good times. You know, it's like I said, I'm planning on putting it up Christmas Day. So, you know, like any good kid, I'm going to rush out of my bedroom in my pajamas, rush over to the Christmas tree, ignore the presents, open up my laptop, and post the podcast, because that's what's important. Fuck presents.
Yeah. No, that's what Christmas is about.
Yeah. It's about posting podcasts.
It's about the fucking podcast. That's what Christmas is about, yeah.
And we'll be back the next week after that, and
with
all
Dirty
through
Dancing,
2017.
Right?
Yeah, with Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
So next week, live show. Week after that, Dirty Dancing. We're going to be going strong every Monday in 2017. And we thank you for listening. This is the show. That was the show. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
Thank you for listening to Blockbuster Nostalgia. We'll be back, and we'll be here all 2017 just helping you get through whatever shit
whatever
you're in.
Whatever Trump's America shit we're in, we are on board with this.
We are here to help.
Yeah.
Blockbuster Nostalgia, good night.
Have a great fucking night.
And we love you. Anything else we want to say?
No, I think that's it.